Did you pay close attention what's happening in the gospel? It's the first day of the week, the day following the Sabbath. It's Sunday. Jesus is accompanying two of his disciples, going from Jerusalem to their hometown of Emmaus. They begin to converse with him. They don't recognize that it's Jesus, but he's there. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he began to explain to them all the things in Scripture that referred to him. They get home. They offer a prayer. Stay with us, Lord. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over. After that prayer, they go to table. He takes bread. He blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them, and disappears from their sight. And they realize what happened. He opened the Scriptures to them, and he gave them himself as bread. And the two recounted what had taken place on the way, and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. That is the first recorded instance we have of the celebration of the Mass. Exactly what we're doing right now, as happened 2,000 years ago in Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Last year, just before Lent began, I had a wedding the weekend before Ash Wednesday. Following the wedding and cleaning up, I found a host in the pews. Consecrated or not, I don't know. But from the 4 o'clock Mass before the wedding, again, I don't know. But it was a host nonetheless. And had to be treated as though it were a consecrated host. And so I disposed of it as the church requires by dissolving it in water. After that, I asked the entire congregation of our parish to spend the entire Lenten season in reparation for sins against the Blessed Sacrament, whether overtly or just by neglect. And all of us together received kneeling on the tongue and a celebrated Mass facing the tabernacle, so that all of us together were asking God's forgiveness for transgressions against the Eucharist. It had a profound effect on our parish. I noticed that people began to respect the Eucharist much more deeply, and there was a greater silence during Mass, a beautiful thing to see. Something for us to keep up. The custom of the Latin Church has given us options where we can either kneel to receive the Eucharist or stand. We can receive in the hand or the tongue. But one thing is required. It's an act of acknowledgement, a gesture of reverence saying that I do believe that Christ is present in the Blessed Sacrament. It could be a sign of the cross, a bow of the head, or a genuflection. But we do this for a particular reason. Is to remind ourselves of the presence of Christ. It's a return to reverence, to respect, and to belief. Right now, the Catholic Church in the United States is undergoing something called the Eucharistic Revival, and there are all kinds of different prayers and different programs, etc. That's all nice and good, but after this revival is over, let's go back to square one again, unless we convince ourselves of the truth that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ. Now, where does this all come from? Our Catholic belief comes from the very lips of Jesus Christ himself, in the real and physical presence of himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. It's the very source and the very summit of our faith as Catholics. We go back to the very beginning. Man was created for union with God. That's the whole point. In the Garden of Eden, there was no separation between us and God or us and each other. There was perfect union there, and it was meant to be for eternity. But sin caused a separation between us and God and from each other. But in the fullness of time, Christ comes among us as a man, and he unites together in himself humanity and divinity. The Eucharist, then, is the very thing that unites us to Christ, and with Christ to the Father, and with Christ to one another, becoming truly one body, one spirit in Christ together, in sanctifying grace and in physical reality. We truly become the church, the body of Christ here on earth, in whom Christ dwells and in whom Christ works and operates. It all begins with our baptism and finds its culmination in our reception of the Eucharist. While other denominations like to claim titles such as Body of Christ Ministries, for example, or Our Savior's Church, for example, these claims are absolutely baseless and wrong and are quite misleading simply because they do not possess the sacrament of the Eucharist. They might have good people in those churches, but it's certainly bad theology. Why can I say that? It's the result of split after split from the last 500 years since Martin Luther of Germany began his revolt against the church in 1517. Since that time, denominations have severed ties with the church that Christ founded on the apostles, and they have denied the passing down of the ordained priesthood that was given by Christ to the apostles, the bishops, and presbyters, the priests. And they simply do not believe in Christ's real and substantial presence in the Blessed Sacrament. Just some symbolic representation that they might call communion, which is just basically like a symbolic snack, if you would, consumed in union with others, but there's no supernatural grace there. Or they might simply call it the Lord's Supper, in imitation of the Last Supper. But one thing that other denominations will never call it, though, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is precisely what we're doing is. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is holy because it is ordained by God, the Son of God himself, for the salvation of the world. It is the sacrifice of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, who willingly offers himself as the Lamb of God, killed to save us, the guilty, by his blood. We, who were once separated from God through sin, are now reunited to God by Christ's coming in the flesh, by his dying in the flesh, by his rising in the flesh, and his giving us his flesh as food to eat. His own words, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which is given up for you." "Unless you eat my flesh," Jesus says, "and drink my blood, you have no life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood," Jesus says, "remain in me, and I remain in him. Therefore, do this in memory of me." That's where the word Mass comes in. The Latin word Missa, from which Mass comes, means a mission to do something. The word liturgy, same thing. It's the Greek liturgia, meaning a work of the people. What this is that we're offering to God the Father Christ's greatest work, his crucifixion and his resurrection. That's what happens at each and every Mass. That we offer to God the Father the sacrifice of Christ the Son, Christ crucified, and receive in the Eucharist Christ resurrected. The Mass was instituted at the Last Supper. It was culminated on Calvary and consummated on Calvary and ratified by the resurrection. Therefore, as St. Paul tells us, when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim this great work of Christ, his death and resurrection, until he comes again as judge and as Lord. The prologue, or the first words of the Gospel of John, the account that we just read from the Gospel of St. Luke about the disciples in Emmaus, it's all about the Mass. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God spoke the Word, but then the Word became flesh and came among us. All by the power of the Holy Spirit, which at the same time forms us the church, born by the Spirit and made one by the Eucharist to become one body in Christ. We are here, the Eucharist made substance in its members, clergy and laity, each in their own degree by the Eucharist. When I was in third grade, the nun who taught us was from Canada, from Quebec. She grew up in Three Rivers. I remember her telling us that just as the Mass, you hear bells ringing to tell us that Jesus is present. When the priest lays his hands over the gifts, invoking the Holy Spirit, bells are rung to remind us that the consecration is about to begin. Then when the host is elevated and the chalice is elevated, bells ring again. In her parish church in Three Rivers, Quebec, the church rang the bells outside as well, the tolling bells. And her mother told her, when you hear those bells, you kneel down because God is coming back down again on earth. It's the incarnation all over again. That's profound. So the same thing for us, brothers and sisters, when we come to Mass, it's to have that same stillness and that silence and awe and reverence that we read about in Revelation at the coming of the Lamb. There should be no moving around in church at that time, no getting up, no going to the bathroom. Stillness and silence in the presence of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So how do we deepen our belief in, our love for, our participation in the sacrament? Very simple. Prayer and preparation. Prayer and preparation. I know that many times we kind of get up in the morning on Sunday, we hurry up and get ready, we rush to church, we get here and just kind of hurry everything up. Take some time, slow it down. Think about what's going to happen here. We have so many different ways of preparing ourselves with different apps and the missalette and missals and so on. Read the readings beforehand. Come to Mass a bit earlier. Reflect on the readings. Listen to them in the car on the way over here. Anything to prepare yourself to have that encounter with Christ. During the week, when you pass by a church, it's always open. Come inside. Visit Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. I know many of you make holy hours. As I said, come a little bit earlier. Go to confession if necessary. When you're here at Mass, participate by singing, responding, paying attention. Leave distractions in the car. Leave your phones behind. Don't read the bulletin. Listen to the word. Receive the word made flesh. Be absorbed in Jesus. Teach your children to be still in those times too. I know they can't be quiet, that's okay. But just tell them to be still. If they have to go to the bathroom, they can wait. Not during the consecration. There should be no moving around. But again, stillness and silence, paying attention to the readings and the consecration, to be in the presence of Christ. It's very disheartening as a priest to be at the altar at that most important moment and just people wandering around aimlessly. Honestly, if I were not a Catholic and wondered what do Catholics believe, I wouldn't find it if I see that happening. It says that we don't care. And truly, nothing says, I don't give a flip about Christ's death and my salvation, than this nonchalant cavalier attitude that says, I'm only here because I have to be here. So make it as short as possible, as comfortable as possible, as inconvenient as possible for me at Mass. If that's your attitude, then honestly stay home until it changes. But while here, engage your heart, engage your mind, engage your soul on what you are doing and whom you are receiving and why. Approach, brothers and sisters, with purity of heart and mind, with humility, with reverence and awe. St. Paul writes, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Jesus says, my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day. In the words of the old but simple hymn, O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine.